Pasuk Pasuk Hoy Ariel Ariel Kiryas Kana David Spushano Al Shano Kagim in Kofu. So we go, whoa, whoa, the Beis HaMikdash, that's what Ariel refers to, in the city of where David HaMelech lived, right? They added year to year, right? And the Chagim are the ones that are going to destroy you. And here's the shot over here. Up until now, the Mizbeach was able to save them. It was something of like of a savior to all of Klal Yisrael, that they were able to when they needed to, they brought a korban to the Mizbeach and everything was all good. Unfortunately, right, once years got added on and people got bored and people like sort of did their own thing, well then that didn't become new anymore. People just did it because they got used to doing it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu despised the korbanos. And that ended up leading to the destruction of Yerushalayim.
Why is Ariel referred to, the Beis HaMikdash referred to as Ariel? What does that mean?
So Ariel refers to the strength of the lion. And that's what it refers to. Remember the line that's
like
used?
Like Ariel?
Yeah. So the line that's used is that the, however you want to say, the fire on top of the Beis HaMikdash and the first Beis HaMikdash looked like a lion. So that's the way that they referred to it. They referred to the Mizbeach or the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash itself, as Ariel. Right? So that's what it refers to. That's Hikosi La Ariel. I will oppress Ariel. There will be full of mourning and wailing, and I will make it like Ariel, meaning I'll make the whole land into a massive Mizbeach. Oh, you're not treating my Mizbeach correctly? You're not bringing the korbanos because you want to? Fine. I'll make the entire land a Mizbeach. I'm going to shecht people and tzaddikim, and their corpses will be the kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. You're not going to do it the right way, then I'll destroy the people in that way. B'chanisi kadur alayich, I will encamp like a circle all around you. B'tzarti alayich mutzav, and I'm going to besiege you like a tower. B'akimosi alayich mitzuros, and I'm going to raise siege ramparts against you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do everything. He's going to destroy, I guess you could say, through his agents, Sancheirav and Nebuchadnezzar, destroy everything that he can. B'shafalti me'eretz tedaberi, you will be knocked down. B'shafalti me'eretz tedaberi, you will be knocked down. You will speak from the ground. In the upper tishach, from the dirt, you will be lowered. Imraseich, all of your words. V'yikav me'eretz koleich, and it will be like the ove. Ovidoni, like the medium, right, that does those magics. That's how your voice is going to appear from the ground. Your words are going to chirp from the dust itself. And that's that. Everybody's going to be so submissive. They're going to be humbled, right, from everything that was happening in Yerushalayim. They're just going to call out from whatever. So remember, this is when Rav Shakeh came over to Yerushalayim and said, oh yeah, are you on my, whatever, are you guys going to do anything? So the people are just like, shh, quiet down, please, don't speak in Hebrew. We don't want anybody else to understand what you're saying. Speak in Babylonian. We speak Babylonian. They were quieted down, or Rav Shakeh was speaking out with his loud, voice. And like the thin dust will be all the multitudes of all the people around you, the foreigners that are around you. And like the shaft that passes by, Hamona Risen, is going to be all the multitudes of all the strong ones. Everything's going to happen very suddenly. That's something that you're going to have to get used to throughout the Nevi'im, where everything happens just suddenly, where you're not expecting it, and then all of a sudden this whole army comes up against you, and you're just like, where in the world did that come from? Well, you don't seem to realize how quickly that happens. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, they will get back what they need. There will be thunder, there will be earthquakes, there will be large sounds. There will be tempests and storms, and it's going to be a consuming fire of flame. That's what the Holy Land is going to happen over there. Now, I don't know, does anybody know, were there earthquakes in the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? We know there were earthquakes in like the 1600s and 1800s.
It's a natural phenomenon.
I'm not saying there wasn't. I'm saying, was there,
like a recorded one?
Yeah, like something that we know about in which we could say, oh wow, there was that earthquake and that refers to this. I just don't know. The famous earthquake in the times of the Arizal and the Beis Yosef, that's the famous one, right? We know about another one in the 1800s, I think it was. Awesome. That's when Tzfas came down again, right? The second time that Tzfas was destroyed, right? No, don't Google it. But like, how many times did the earthquakes happen throughout Earth? So, and did an earthquake ever happen in Yerushalayim? That's what I want to know. because there is a huge fault line that goes through Eretz Yisrael. Is there a fault line that goes directly under Yerushalayim? If there is, did it ever happen? It could be nearby as well.
It was an earthquake in Yerushalayim a few years ago. I mean, it was like a 3 on the Richter scale, but it wasn't. But
it was an earthquake here.
No, I do remember that.
I think we're on the largest fault line in North America.
Wait, was it?
No.
What diverted that river?
Not that I know of. We don't hear of anything like that, but Yeshaya is saying there was something that was there. Alright, here we go. It says in Pasuk Zion, Vayakach Halom Chazon Laila. It's going to be like a dream, like a nighttime vision. Hamon Kol Agayim Atzov Ariel. For all the nations are going to assemble against Ariel, against the base of Egypt. All of our attackers and all of our besiegers and all of our oppressors, they're all going to surround the base of Egypt. It's going to be like a bad dream. Just like the hungry one dreams in Eochel. He sees food in front of him. The Hakeet, then he wakes up for Reka Nafsho and he's got nothing in front of him. The guy who's thirsty is dreaming and he drinks. The Hakeet, then he wakes up in the Ayet, the Nafsho Shokeka. He's still thirsty. That's what it's going to be like. This shall be for all the nations that will assemble against Har Zion. It's going to be as swiftly as a vivid dream disappears when he wakes. All of a sudden they're going to be disappearing by the morning. You're going to wake up in the morning and it's going to seem like, oh my gosh, you have these enemies against you and they're gone. They're all gone. Then everything's all gone. Is it true? Are we sitting on a fault line?
That's in Missouri.
In Missouri.
Illinois. Illinois,
Indiana. Okay. Anyway, positive test. He's mamu usmahu. Contemplate, wonder about this. He's ta'asu v'shou. Reflect, speak about this. Shachu v'lo yayin, no v'lo shachor. We spoke about this before. They were drunk without any wine. They moved themselves around. They're dizzy, but not from liquor. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pour upon you some type of a spirit of trance. By Atzemes Enechem, he's going to close your eyes as a Nevi'im through the Nevi'im. That's Rashaychem HaKozim Kisa. And he's going to close off all of your leaders and the people that are visionaries. All that will be completely. Your entire generation is going to be drunk from the sense that there will be no Nevi'im that are getting any Nevu'ahs about what's going to be. Think about this for a second. If you're so used to Nevu'ahs and the Nevi'im are telling you everything you want to know, then all of a sudden Chizkio is surrounded by Sancheirib. And Chizkio goes to the Nevi'im and says, guys, what's going to happen? And the Nevi'im say, we don't have anything. We have no idea. That was the worst punishment. They're so used to knowing what was going to be in the future, having a vision, and the Nevi'im aren't telling you good or bad. They can't tell you good things, they can't tell you bad things. We have no idea. It was like a dream for them, and they couldn't get up. Okay, it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Atilachem Chazus HaKol, the visions became for all of you. Kidibur HaSefer HaFasim, like a closed book. Asher Yigal Osel Yodeh HaSefer, you give it over to a person who knows how to read. Lemar Kronazet, please read this for me. He looks at it and he says, I have no idea. This is some type of lettering that I've never understood before in my life. Menitin HaSefer HaSher Lo Yodeh HaSefer Lemar. And then the book is given over to a person who's totally illiterate, and he says, Kona Zed, read this please. He says, I can't read whatsoever. So in other words, there were people that were actual Nevi'im that were asked to read it, and they had absolutely no idea. So then you went to people who had no idea what was going on. You say to them, alright, well at least you take some guesses over here. Right? Even they said, we have absolutely no idea. It's concept, the concepts of this safer, so to speak, the concepts of what was going to be in the future, were so far from us to understand, it's impossible for us to know.
I almost had an earthquake in 750 B.C.
Is that written in Sefer Amos?
There was also one in 31 BC, the Qumran earthquake, and 750 BC, Amos earthquake.
750
BC, yeah.
Let's consider that, guys. That's before. That's like right in the middle of the first base of Inkesh? Sounds like more of the beginning of the first
base. No, the second base was destroyed in 70, so minus 400 years.
420. 420.
Right, so the first base was destroyed in like 500 BC.
350. 350 BC.
Well, there's 350 years of also.
Plus 7. Okay, but wait. 350. So 350 BC, then plus 7.
Almost predicted
so
like 420
BC. 200 more, or at least 300. 300 more is 750.
It was an 8.2 earthquake.
Okay. How do they know?
8.2 in Israel?
That's what they say.
How do they
know?
They
dig into the earth.
Maybe they are.
They figure it out.
You can see how it's just...
All right, let's go. Plus, Yud Dalit over here. Vayomer Hashem. Yan Kinigash Almazeb and people because of Kibduni, the Libo Rechak Miani, because these people, right, with their mouths and with their lips, they have honored me, but their hearts are far from me. And because their fear of me became like something that they're just used to. They're no longer doing it because they care. They're doing it because, whatever, that's just what they're used to. Therefore, I'm going to make it even more astonishing for them. They're going to lose all the wisdom of all their chachamim, all the understanding of their nevi'im. There's going to be hidden. Everything is completely gone, and that's that. Meaning, everything that they have is going to be lost to plagiarizing nations who are going to hide that Jewish wisdom, and they're going to say that it's their own wisdom and everything. That's going to be the media, connecting media. They're going to take on our wisdom for themselves. Lost your Eitza. Right? Woe to those who try to hide from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and try to conceal their plans. They try to do everything in the dark. Who's going to see us? Who's going to know about us? It's going to be the opposite for you. Right? If, like the raw material of a person who makes pots, it will be considered right? So, like a finished product says to a producer, didn't you make me? Can the creation say to its creator, you don't understand me? In other words, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the people are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're trying to hide from Hashem. We're trying to say that, you know, that you can't see what we're really doing. Can a thing that I created say that you didn't really create me, or that you don't really know how to make me? Can a person who was created by God say that, God, you don't understand me? Clearly not. That's impossible. So and that's
in,
that.
If you look in Yeshaya, it says, to come into the cleft of the rock and house with foot because of the fear of the Lord and because of the splendor of his pride when he rises to break the earth.
Sounds like an earthquake to me.
Okay, I don't know. Alright, anyway. But that's that. Hello, Ud Ma'at Mizor Vishov Levanon Lekarmel. That's not a Raya, by the way.
I'm not saying it's a Raya.
Hello, Ud Ma'at Mizor, in a very short time, Vishov Levanon Lekarmel, Vakarmel Leyar Yechoshev. The Lebanon, meaning that area of the forests, will become like a farmland, and the farmlands will be like a forest. I guess it goes like this. Obviously, there are different areas that have the ability over time to be able to change everything in there. Meaning, an entire forest could become a grassland if you cut it all down and it's all gone. So too, if you start planting trees, you have the ability to make a forest very quickly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do all that naturally. Within the natural form of the land, he's going to make that happen. They will hear on that day all deaf people. They will hear the words of a sefer. And from the darkness, the eyes of the blind people will be able to see. At that time, all the humble people will rejoice in Hashem, and the poor people among all the people will be rejoicing, they'll be happy about the Holy One of Bnei Yisrael. You'd assume that this again is a reference to what's going to be at the end of days by Mashiach. Because remember, that's how Yeshaya goes. He upis aritz, all the violence will be ended. Kala late, all the scoffers will be gone. I don't know how they're going to do that with the internet still existing. And all those who do evil will all be cut off. Those who make others sinful with their words, and those who are reproving others, right? They set traps. And they, what they do is, those people that falsely wronged the righteous and things like that, all those people will be completely gone. All the false prophets, all the evildoers, everything's going to be on the call. Beis Yaakov is what Hashem says to Beis Yaakov. Remember, Beis Yaakov is usually the term when used when referenced to women or the weaker parts of Klal Yisrael. Shepados Avram, right, who redeemed, just like God, he redeemed. Stop it. Just like God, that's fine. They know they're weak. Shepados Avram, just like God redeemed Avram, Yaakov will no longer be ashamed, right? No longer will his face be white and kibirosi. You love the Masya die, because when his children sees my handiwork, Bekirbo amongst them, Yatishu Shmido, be Makadish my name, Yikdishu as Kadosh Yaakov, that's okay, you saw Yaritsu, Yadu saw Yeruch, Bina Barognin, Liomadu Lekach, those who are messed up will learn how to do their understanding. Barognin, Yomadu Lekach, and the agitators will then learn a lesson. And that's what refers to when it comes to Mashiach. Oh, is that it? We're now done with that first sefer?
It's almost right. Like it ends with a bracha.
Right, I mean, that is interesting that he stopped right over there, but Mashiach. Now, we're going to have an interesting thing. Per Lamed, Yeshayah is going to tell everybody, here's what you need to do. Here's what you're going to need to do in order for things to happen. And if you do this, then you're going to be Zocha to what we're going to say in 31 and 32. Shkayach Dave, we'll see you later. Hoy banim sorin. Woe to the wayward children, Umashem, Lassos Eitza. You try to do plans, the Lomini, but you don't listen to me. The Linsok Ma, you try to add on, right, like sort of like I guess schemes, but it's not with my spirit. You just keep adding on sin after sin after sin. You go toward where Mitzrayim is.
For some reason translated as a point or ruler.
Okay, that makes sense. Masecha is like a head.
Masecha is like a
molten image.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it refers to. Pilo shalu, but you never ask my mouth. Lo'oz b'ma'oz paro. You protected yourself through power of Lachos b'tzal Mitzrayim. So here's the idea. The Jews at the times of Sancheriv always assumed that they would be protected, right, by what's known as, right, the people of Mitzrayim. They assumed that if anybody ever came up against them, Mitzrayim would be their ally. Mitzrayim would take care of them. Very similar to how Israel feels about America today. And if anything ever happens to us, we don't have to worry because America will take care of us.
What was the strategic alliance with Mitzrayim? Was it Shlomo's connection?
That was years ago. It was 250 years ago. They probably paid them off. That would be the most likely. They knew that Mitzrayim had it.
They gave it all away.
Because Joe still had money. Because Joe, remember, still had the golden doors that he sent to the people, sent to Sancheriv later on. Perhaps he still had this money that was there.
Could he be foreseeing that when people wanted, after Gedaliah was killed, people wanted to flee to Mitzrayim, and he was...
That could be also, right? Yirmiyah Parak Mem, when it goes into what happens after Gedaliah and Achikam died, it said you're going to run there. But we're going to see it's going to be more than that. So the line over here is that Oy Bonin, every child needs a father, is the line over here. So a child is in danger, he needs some form of help. Who's he going to turn to if not to his father? Where are you going to go if you don't go to your father? That's what you need, and that's the idea. You're going to go to your dad, right? So why are you going to Mitzrayim? Why are you asking Mitzrayim for help when you have your father that's available for you right there? That's silly, the way that Yeshayah is saying it. Why would you do that?
Still, it's
kind of
like... if Mitzrayim's there and wants to help you,
I don't know if they want to help you. I think that's part of the point.
That's the way Hashem's helping you, because Hashem's not in the physical.
Well, they have to pay for Mitzrayim. They have to pay for Mitzrayim to be on their side. If they paid, let's see what happens. Ma'uz paro laboshes. The strength of paro will turn into an embarrassment for you. Vachasus b'tzel Mitzrayim laklima. Your protection in the shadow of Mitzrayim became a shame. Kiyu b'tzon sarov, because the generals were in Tzon. Umalachov chones yagiu, and all the ministers, all the messengers, the angel, well, the people that were there, they all reached the area called chones. I guess that's the city of Mitzrayim. I just don't know. Koho vish al am lo yuilu. They were disgraced by a people that would not help them. Lomo lo la ezer v'lo la oil. Not for help, not for any good things. Ki laboshin gam acherpa. There was an embarrassment as well as disgrace. They're not going to come whatsoever. Masa Bahamos, right? Negev. Masa Bahamos Negev be'eretz sarav etzuka. They jumped upon animals going southward at a time of distress and pain. Lovi v'layish mehem, right? There was lions and vipers, right? I know lovi v'layish are both types of lions. Ff the sarav, different types of snakes. Mo faith that flew in the air, flying serpents. Wow, you even got like
they had those
little dragons or flying snakes. Yeah, they don't really fly; they flap their yeah.
So the awesome lion and the crushing lion are the
The awesome lion. We know that one. Yeah, Yisu al kesek ayarim, right there. They bore their wealth on the donkeys' backs. Chaylam, all of their wealth. Now dabeshes kamalimo trosam, and on camels' humps they put their treasures. You know, dabeshes is a hump. I didn't know that. No. On the humps of camels, now you do. Their treasures, al amlo yilu, all to a people of no avail. Yet they paid them a lot of money. They gave all of their money over to be able to go. You went to a land, right, through the Sinai Desert that had all these dangerous animals in it, right, these lions and leopards and snakes and hyenas and jackals, whatever it is. You were willing to go all the way through there to go ask Mitzrayim for help, right, and they still didn't help you. Right? You could have just asked.
Are the Jews supposed to know when they're supposed to fight and stand up, or when are they supposed to surrender? Because
I don't think that was the kasha. You're right, they're supposed to fight. Should they rely on another nation, which you're not friends with, to be able to help you in those fights?
The best thing would be to not to fight, but to surrender and then say, why? Because they're going to lose anyway. You got this massive army, and they can't rely on miracles, especially when Yishai is telling them, like, you guys are going to go down. I mean, I don't know, maybe they would have gotten killed if they were surrendered anyway.
Right. What would be at that point?
Like,
I don't know.
A good comparison would be in terms of the Romans. When the Romans came in, and I mean, even though Marcos might have done something at the beginning, like, there was no way once they sent the entire army to him that, you know, unless there was a miracle.
Well, there were miracles that were happening every day. Bar Kokhba shouldn't have won any of the battles that he fought. Bar Kokhba was given superhuman strength in some way, and that's what it meant, that he would jump a mile and kill these people, and then jump a mile back.
It
meant that he was able to kill people that nobody else was able to kill. How did the Maccabees, how did the Maccabees, how were they able to defeat an entire Greek army of Holofernes or whatever his name is, right? How were they able to do that? These things were impossible. They were impossible, but nonetheless.
That Hanukkah wasn't that, I mean, maybe there was national things involved as well, but it was also a religious thing.
That's what you're saying.
Prohibited
okay.
Religious.
Let's go through. You're right. When it comes to death, which is a story of Purim,
right,
where they're not trying to destroy a religion, right? That's when you dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu when you fast. That's when you have to rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu to save you. That's exactly what they did. When it comes to going in, this is all Rebbe Khanan and Kovitz Mamar. When it comes to Hanukkah, which was a fight against our religion, that's when you have to stand up and you have to fight physically in order to stand up for your religion. That's when the Chiyuv comes to fight. Kovitz Chaim says that's what they should have done in Russia. And had they done it, they would have defeated the entire Russian government. That's what the Kovitz Chaim said. The Kovitz Chaim said, I can't do it, I'm too weak. Somebody has to take my place. Nobody wanted to take this place.
Israel or in Russia?
I don't know. According to the Chofetz Chaim, no. Chofetz Chaim said he was going to do it.
Nothing's intimating that they should have gone to God no matter what.
That's what it sounds like. Especially this time. But remember, this time is for death. So if it's for death, they're going to be killed. Not to convert, but for death, then you have to die.
He's already been telling them that you're going to die anyway.
Only if you don't do tshuva.
If they're going
to
die anyway,
you know, that's the point.
You're hoping to lose anyway.
No. It wasn't to fight. They have to daven. That's the line.
No, fine.
This is Purim.
Right, it's a daven too, but the guy's coming with a knife. It's not sit there, daven, defend yourself.
You've got to remember, they did defend themselves. They had a siege.
All right, no.
There's siege around the city.
No, but what I'm saying is where you have a case like Rome, the Romans. Had the Jews surrendered to the Romans, fine, you can continue living. But this is my understanding. I'm wrong in certain situations.
Yeah.
I don't know. But let's say the thing was, you can continue living if you surrender. And you can, you know, continue doing whatever it is you want to do. It probably depends on the period of time. Then it's better to do that.
Yeah, that was the argument of the Purushim versus the Bar Yonim
right.
In Gittin Daf Nun Vav.
Right. Yeah.
The Purushim said, let's live under them, they'll let us be. The Bar Yonim said, no, let's fight them. So in that case, the Purushim said, we'll do it. Because we're not sacrificing a religion. They don't necessarily want to kill us. Right? So that way we'll give in to them. Right? But if they're trying to kill you, then you have to daven. If they're trying to get rid of your religion, then you have to fight.
I would say that even when trying to kill you, I mean, davening is important too, but also to do something. I mean, if they're literally coming to kill you, which makes perfect logical.
Okay.
They're
in a siege.
Okay.
In all those situations, they're in a siege. By Purim, though, what were they going to do? They didn't
right,
get up.
That was
really
like,
so
where are they going to right?
But so there you go.
Kind of like, but the whole
so why did
read the edict of the Purim story? The end of the Purim story was, Jews should defend themselves.
Yeah,
is that
was it.
Anything about like the army will.
So up until that point, right? There was nothing there. I don't know. I've absolutely no idea. I really want to go into this flying serpent thing. I want to figure out who these flying serpents are.
Before flying squirrels, they evolved into flying squirrels.
They evolved eventually. I don't believe in that. Well, Mitzrayim hevel v'rik yazoru. The help of Mitzrayim is futile and empty. Therefore, I say of them, right, Rav. Rahim, Shavas. They are haughty and they're idle and they do absolutely nothing. Remember, Rahab is the name of the god of Egypt. That's what they called him, Rahab. Right? So that's the idea behind it. They never really intended to do it in the first place. They just said they would, and that's that. So, Pasachas, now a brand new thing. I want you to write this down on a tablet to be with them. Engrave it on a sefer.
Prophecy?
I believe so, yeah. Well, the following prophecy. It remains to the end of days as an eternal witness. No, it should be from now on. That they should say that this is going to be here. I think it's this. Yeah, it's possible. If you look in Rashi, what does Rashi say over there? When he says, Zos? Atabo kasva aluachitam?
Just see. No, he only talks about hookah.
Nothing specific. Okay, so I would assume that it's referring to the following, but maybe not. Pasuk says, Ki amarihu, but amarihu, it's a rebellious people. Banim kekoshim, children that lie. Banu avu shmoa towards Hashem, people that don't want to listen to the Torah of Hashem. Asher omilu roim lo tiru, they say to the seers, you don't really see. V'lachozo lo takzu lanu, they say to the prophets, you know what, don't tell us your prophecy. Nekokos dapru lanu, right? Don't tell us the truths. Chalakos, chazuma hasalos. I'd rather you tell us lies, right? Chazuma hasalos. I want you to tell us foolishness. I'd rather you tell us that. That's what the people would say. But tell us lies. Give us something different. Surumini derek, turn off the road, right? Hatumini orach, get away from the way. Hashbisumi panenu is kadosh yisrael. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They would say to the Nevi'im, stop talking about God. We don't want to hear about him anymore. We're done with that. Now let's go on to another subject. Because you despise this word, and because you trusted in your extortion, right, and you relied upon your crookedness. Therefore, this sin will be for you like a breach, right, that fell upon a firm wall, in which a wall all of a sudden, where all of a sudden it breaks suddenly. So it's going to be like a jug that is made by a potter, right? It's going to be crushed completely and knocked down and without any mercy whatsoever. Nothing is left to take out coals from a fire, to scoop water from a pit. You'll have nothing left of all this clay whatsoever. There's going to be a weak point, right? And everything's going to come down very, very quickly. That's the idea behind it. Their downfall is going to be very quick. Right, you can be saved with peace and with tranquility. Your might can come through common trust, but you aren't interested. Hashem said you could have it through peace. Everything could happen in a good way, right? But that's going to be that. So we said v'toru, but you said lo. We want to run away on horses. I'll came to do soon. Okay, so you're going to have to run away. I'll call near kav. You said we're going to be on very, very quick camels. I'll came to kav rosecha. Therefore, your enemies were very quick against you. Elef echod mitnei garas. Echod mitnei garas chamisha tanusu. 1,000 will flee from the shouting of one, right? From the shouting of five, right? Tanusu, you're going to run. I mean, in those starchem katoran al rosha horva kenes al gibal. Until you remain like a mast on top of a mountaintop, or like a banner that's on top of a hill. Then all of your enemies are going to be quick to come against you, and they're going to come quickly against you. L'chein yechak Hashem l'chanan. Come therefore.
Explain why it doesn't give a proportion. It doesn't give a number for when five shall.
So I don't think it's supposed to be. 1,000 will run away from one and then five will chase innumerous amounts of people that are going to run away from it. Yeah. What's the line? Can I grab that Kumish for a second? In what is it? In
I don't remember what part.
Hazinu. I mean, it's in Kisavo also, where you run away, but I forgot the wording. It's in Hazinu or Kisavo? I thought it's also over here. Does anybody remember it offhand? No. It's in Kisavo. So what is it? Echod Yanusu Elef? Here we go. I need somebody who's a Balco, right? Somebody that's constant Balco, or who knows who this is.
What's the buzzer?
Something like Echad Yenusu Elef, you'll run away one from a thousand. Maybe it's Bechukosai? I thought it was here. I thought it was in Kisava.
The Kukosai sounds more familiar, but I could be...
Check out the Kukosai and the curses right around there. I don't think it's here. I can't find it over here. Most Yishmoy Masos. I don't see it over here. Maybe it is in the cool code and it's right there. There it is right there at the end of Vayikra. Right. Yeah, you could ask him right there. Ask him if he knows where it is.
Did he ask him the same way about the Bachman Sonai, somebody asked him about where they have son?
No, there's more. It says specifically 1,000 to 1 or something like that. There's a number that's used, and that's what I'm missing out on over here. I just found the fact that you were talking about. Alright, I guess we don't have it. 3230 of what?
Deuteronomy.
3230. Oh, it is an Azim. Echa Yerdop Echad Elef Ushnaim Yanisu Revava. One will chase 1,000 and 2 10,000. Shut up, you got it. That is right there. One will chase 1,000 and 2 will chase 10,000 altogether. That's what's going to happen. That's what the B'nai Yisrael will be able to do. Yeah, we got an Azim. It is an Azim. Shut up. Okay, so it's going to be right there. So let's go. In Pasuk Yud Tes, it says the following. It says, where do we got it? I'm sorry. In Elef Echad Echad Echad. So that must be why, although it doesn't say 5. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wait to show you any grace. And therefore, He will hold back from giving you any mercy. God is a God of Mishpat. Praiseworthy are those who wait for Him, because in the end, He will wait. There will be tshuva. Everything will be good at the end of the day. For the people in Zion will live in Yerushalayim. Don't cry. He will give you grace. The calls out cackle when you cry out loud, and when He hears, as soon as you cry out, or He will hear you. Right, that's what's going to happen. God will then give you a little bit of bread, and a little bit of water. Your teachers will no longer be hidden, and your eyes will not behold your teachers. That the teachers, once God gives you the basics again, you're able to start all over again. That's when the teachers will come out of their hiding. They'll be able to teach you. Now, there's a halakha that comes out from this. How you enekel rose this maracha is that your eyes should always watch your teacher. The halakha is like this. You should watch the mouth of your teacher, and if you do, then you will never forget your Torah learning. Watching the mouth of the teacher never lets you forget the Torah learning ever. Amazing, isn't it? But that's the guarantee. The Chassam Sofer said that when people would look at his mouth, they would remember everything better. And that's why the Ben Ish Chai said he's going to put his picture on the front of every single one of his svarim. So when you're learning his sefer, you could watch him say it to you, and that way you'll remember it better.
Where does he say that?
I don't remember.
I think earlier years don't have the
little pictures on it.
I think so. The older one that I've seen.
It could be. He wanted the picture there so that people would be able to see him while they were saying it over. While he was there, for them to be able to get it. He talks about it by Moshe Rabbeinu. I forgot why he says it by Moshe Rabbeinu. Specifically Moshe Rabbeinu, because he had a lisp and he was able to talk normal. Yeah, it was something like that.
I guess it makes sense because you're showing your painted person more.
Yeah. Your ears will hear something coming from behind you, way more saying, that's the way to go on. Whether you go to the right or to the left. At that moment, they're going to hear messages from what they're doing. And even though they're not sure if they're in the right position or if they're doing the right thing, God will push them in the right direction. And you'll know it, because at that moment you'll have like subliminal messages. You have things in your head that are telling you, way to go, Chaim. You did the right thing. That's what's going to happen right at that moment. And you'll know that everything is being done in the right way. It's a pretty cool little voice in the back of your head. You will abominate, you will be disgusted with all the silver platings on the idols, and all the, the overlays of gold on your molten images. Tizrain, Kamodava, you are going to scatter them like a Nida. Say, Tomalo, you're going to say, get out of here. Same way you tell Nidas back then, the minute was for Nidas to get out of the house. So that's what they did to Avodah Zarah. They told the Avodah Zarah they would get rid of all of them. Then the rain will come for the seed that you seeded the ground with. Velechem to us, Adama, and all the bread, right, will come out from the grain of the ground. By Adoshin Vishamim, there will be fatness and there will be plenty. Yira Miknecha, your cattle will graze. By Yomahu Kar Nerchov, on that day, on a huge amount of pastured lands. Va'alafim va'ayarin Ovde Adama, and then all the oxen and the donkeys. I guess your va'alafim va'ayarin. Ayarin by the donkeys. Alafim must be the oxen. Ovde Adama, the workers of the ground. That makes sense. Ve'lil chamitz, there will be a mixture of grain. Yochilu, that's what they're going to eat. Asher Zorah Barachas of Azreh, that you're going to scatter or winnow together with shovels and fans and stuff like that. So people just, they're going to forget about idolatry. Idolatry is going to become a relic of the past, and people aren't going to think about it anymore. Eventually, it's going to be the Gan Eden state, where all they have to do is just put something in the ground, and immediately stuff starts growing, until the point comes where even the bread starts growing out of the ground, where they're going to see bread trees, actual bread trees that come out from the ground. No, a moti lechem min haaretz would be much more appropriate, right? Literally, a moti lechem min haaretz. It's no longer any other way. I think that's the greatest bracha. Chotei, by al kol har gavoa val kol giva nisaw, plugim ivlei maim. On that day, on every high mountain and on every tall hill, there's going to be just, I guess you're going to have rivers of water. Biyom hereg rav bin ful migdolin. When those towers fall, right, when there is a great slaughter, on that day where the wicked are slaughtered and their towering gaiva is knocked down, that's what's going to be. Again, the towers, twin towers. On that day, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, right? In other words, nighttime will be as bright as it is during the day. You won't need to. And then the light of the sun will be seven times greater, like on the day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu bandaged the breaking of the nation of Machatz Makas Yerpon, everybody will be healed. Now you'd assume that healing happens through the sun, right? The sun is the ability to heal, right? So you'd assume that that healing happens to the sun becomes even more powerful. It makes sense also, if the moon is reflecting the light of the sun, right? So if the sun is seven times greater, then the light that's reflected, you'd assume, would be something that would be greater.
Seven times the brightness of the sun currently.
Whatever it is. Let's say if somehow the sun would become brighter, perhaps that brightness will be seven times as great as it is during the moon, so it'll be like daytime. It'll be very, very light outside.
It's part of the spectrum, not necessarily visible light.
Could be. What if there's another sun that gets added into the mix?
It's kind of far away.
Like some sun that comes in or blows up.
Probably pull
some crazy little thing. Wait, it'd have to be equidistant. You're right. It'd have to be equidistant in some way. Hold the earth in place. Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Arizona all day long?
On the Western Hemisphere.
Two sun, perfectly.
And if you're like in between, you can see both suns.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That's strange.
Yeah, it would be strange. Of course it's going to be strange. It's not like there aren't places like that. Sirius the third, there are supposedly three Sirius suns, right? And there's a planet that's supposed to be habitable near Sirius. So there are three suns for one planet. So in theory, yeah, three stars. And all surround that planet. I don't know if it rotates. I don't know how it rotates, or maybe it rotates around one, and the other two are there on the outside, and they're smaller suns. But Sirius A, B, and C, right? That's where they there is such a thing. There is a planet that apparently has that amount. The only reason why I know that is because that's what Scientology believes in. But I'm just saying, it is true.
And it must be true.
I'm just saying, Sirius A, B, and C do exist, and if there's a planet there,
they had no problem.
No, they have it now. They know that Sirius A, B, and C exist. Whether or not they actually are there.
It's the famous star because it's the brightest star in the sky.
Right, the dog star, they call it. The dog star.
And there's a habitable planet there.
What?
Yeah.
Make claim. I don't know if there actually is. That is that. Obviously, this refers to the light comes away from the, you know, there's redemption. There's moonlight is like the light of redemption or whatever it is, and that's what's going to happen. But aside from that, it could be that moonlight will cause natural growth the same way that sun does nowadays. And somehow the moonlight will be something totally different from what we're used to. Not just werewolves. It is Shom Hashem Bami Merchok. Behold, Shem Hashem, yeah. Shem Hashem Bami Merchok, the name of Hashem will be known from afar. Boar Apo, right, with a burning wrath, the Kovin Masa, very heavy. His lips are full of fury, the tongue is like a consuming fire. He's going to destroy all of Sancheriv at that moment over here. Now, this is going to be cool. Ruho Kenachal Shotev, the Spirit of God, or the breath of God, is like a pouring river. Ad Savor Yechaseh will go all the way up to the neck. Lahana Fog Goyim Benafas Shav Baresen. It will shake the nations as if in like a sieve, like a useless sieve. Baresen Maseh Al Lakoy Amin. It will be against the jaws of the other nations. It's going to mislead them into thinking that they can take Yerushalayim, which is obviously going to lead to its downfall. Hashir Yelakem Kelodi Scottish Chog. The singing will be to you on that day, like the night of when Chag, when a holiday happens. Simchas Leibov, they're going to be so happy. Kalib Khalil, Lebol Bar Hashem Al Tzur Yisrael. They want to dance as if they're going up to the mountain of Bnei Yisrael, the mountain of Hashem, all of Bnei Yisrahl. Now think about this for a second. When was Sennacherib defeated? What night was it? When he was destroyed and they woke up the next morning and he was gone?
Pesach.
We say it is the end of Nirtzah, right? We did not an end of Nirtzah, the beginning of Nirtzah. We say that Sancheriv was destroyed in the middle of the night. They woke up the next morning and they sang real Hallel. It was like a crazy Hallel, like a tremendous simcha.
I thought the point was they didn't sing Shira.
Not Mashiach. Chizkiyo didn't sing Shira enough. But they sang a regular Hallel. They did have an awesome Hallel because it was Pesach the next day. So too, Lasid Level, our redemption is supposed to be on Pesach. There's going to be an awesome Hallel that's sung on that day. Pasuk Lamed, V'yishmi Hashem is Hod Kolo. God will then make His majestic voice go out. V'nachas Zro'o, right? The might of His arm, Yar'eh, He will show Bezaf Af Velav Eish, with some type of a great fury and a blazing fire, Ochela, that consumes Nefetz V'zerem, the Evan Barod, right? Together with any type of thunder and storm and hail that's going to come down. V'yikol Hashem Yechas, because from the voice of Hashem, it's going to Yechas Ashur. Ashur will be broken down. Bashevet Yaked will be hit down with that rod. It's going to happen right at that moment. Okay, here we go. Vayakom Mavar Mate Musada. Right. Asher Yaniach Hashem Alav B'Supim B'Chinoros U'Mochamos Tenufa Milcham Bum. Right. Whatever passes that staff, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy. And that day, there's going to be all these musical instruments. Right. There's going to be a huge musical war that's going to happen. And that's going to wage against them, and that's going to be that everything's going to be gone. Ki aruch me'esmo tofteh. Tofteh is already prepared. Gamhu l'melech uchon hemik kirchem merudasa ish ve'itim har b'nishma sasherem kenachol gafriz bar rabah. Now here's the cool part, and this is what I was referring to over here. How did Sennacherib get destroyed? What happened to Sennacherib's entire army? 185,000 people. What happened to them?
Angel came and snuffed them out,
right? How did it happen naturally? Meaning, supernaturally, we know a Malach came and destroyed them. Naturally, what happened? If you were there watching it happen, right? Normally, you're not able to see Malachim. How did it appear in our eyes? So here's what happened. There was an area called Tofteh. Tofteh was like Gay Ben Hinnom. This is an area where people used to sacrifice their children. They did human sacrifice, and they would burn the bodies in that area.
She says Gehenna, straight up.
Yeah, it's like Gehenna. Gay Ben Hinnom, the Valley of Ben Hinnom, right? That was that. It was already prepared for the king. It was made deeper and it was made wider. It was almost like a landfill filled with garbage. Sennacherib's men were hanging out there because their army was so huge. They were all around and a lot of them were in that area. And part of the tents were right there. And those tents went out because there were tents everywhere with all the people of Sennacherib. What happened was there was a massive fire, a blaze with much fire and firewood. Well, all of a sudden, the blaze from that area where they used to burn their children, I guess there was already a flame going or whatever it was, the flame blew up and caught fire on all the tents. The tents quickly went ablaze, and the whole area went on fire so quickly that the people, while they were sleeping, Sennacherib's army, while they were sleeping, were all consumed in seconds. In seconds, the fire spread completely. Somehow, they all had something that was just burning or able to burn really, really quickly. And like a stream of sulfur, the fire went through and poisoned some of them through the sulfuric acid that was in the air. Others were burned by the burning fire that went through, and the whole army was completely destroyed. Except for how many people? Five. Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, Sennacherib and his two sons.
Well, it wasn't like Nebuchadnezzar was Radon. Maybe they're like ancestors.
If they lived, or whatever it is. Something. But that's what the Gemara says. Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan were both there. Pretty crazy, right? That's what ended up happening. Sulfuric acid, and then not being able to breathe, as well as fire.
Some archaeological dig and gave that,
the fire consumed them all. So it's bones and everything. Nothing.
There may have been little amounts of bones, but you wouldn't find the amount of
consumed bones.
Yeah, but you know how unlikely it is to find little bits of bones. And yeah, agreed. If we're dealing with huge fires that were almost like an electric fire and stuff like that, that might be different.
I forgot.
I guess to begin with.
What I just hear, I just heard, is the yeshiva that just opened up in Modi'in. Okay, so it's amazing. They said it's a brand new shul. It's a beautiful shul where they house the yeshiva. Right? And I was like, where did this shul come from? This is a beautiful shul. I said, is this all government money? He said, no, listen to this. He said, the original shul that was there, the people that lived in this city, Modi'in is not the most religious of towns, they didn't want to pay for a rav. Because they didn't want to pay for a rav, they said, listen, we'll have a shul, we'll have a gabbai, take care of it ourselves, and we're not going to have a rabbi. What do we need a rabbi for? We know everything ourselves. That's what they said. So there was an electrical fire in the shul. You know how hard it is to burn down a shul in Yerushalayim? And anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Because you're using stone. How hard is it to burn down a shul? Right? Nonetheless, this shul was completely razed to the ground. There was an electric fire that was so hot and was so quick, literally everything melted. And the stones were completely crumbled into nothing, into dust. And it was literally lying in a rubble on the ground. So they saw, the people of the shul saw, this was not natural. This was abnormal. They realized that their problem was that they didn't have a rav. They hired a rav, rebuilt the shul. They put more money into the shul than they expected. They made it a beautiful shul. And then they invited a yeshiva to come with them. Said the yeshiva could be inside the area so they could have constant Torah learning there. They had it on shiurim during the week and other things.
What is it?
Crazy, right?
It's an American yeshiva?
They just started. Migdal Oz or something like that.
It's like for American boys there for a year?
Yeah. Yeah, a year or two, whatever it is. But they have it over there.
Do you have any religious Jews? Yeah. Have plans for like one show and like, I don't even know.
Well, it became much bigger than they, I mean.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a small little town.
You know, the people I stayed by there were telling me that all of a sudden the religious Jews started moving in and they started building stuff.
Yeah. Cheap housing, don't go anywhere.
It's not cheap.
It's not cheap anymore.
Well, now it's not really cheap.
Yeah, Parak Lamed Alam. It is a really nice place. It was a really nice place to go to. Whoa to those who go down to Egypt. Remember Egypt? They went down to Egypt. Those who went down to Egypt, they relied on the horses. They assumed that the chariots, Kirov, that there's so many, Valparashim, and the horsemen, Kiyotmo, they're so strong. They didn't rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They did not search out for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So God is wise, will bring about evil. That's Rav Loisir. He will not take back his word. He will rise up against the house of the wicked and against all the people who will do anything evil. You don't want God to be involved. God will allow himself to be involved. Mitzrayim is a bunch of people. They're not a God. Their horses are flesh. They are not spirits. Hashem is going to turn his hands. All those who are helping you are going to stumble. Right? And all those who helped will fall. And then all will perish together. Don't trust any human being. Trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pasuk Dalet. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. The same way that a lion or a young lion sits there and growls over its prey. Right? He's not frightened by the calls of the shepherds. He's not afraid of any of their voices. Right? He doesn't answer back when everybody, the multitudes are there. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be. They're going to call out loud and they're going to try to fight God, but God is not going to take any, obviously, he's not going to be afraid of anyone. Like birds fly around, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect Yerushalayim Gadon, right? He will totally protect them and shelter them, the heat seal, Pasuachi and Leet. Save them, protect them, and rescue them, right? And that's that. That's the idea. That the lion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will go up against everybody else and nothing is going to stop him whatsoever. The plague that went through the area of Sennacherib's army went like a bird flies. It flew through them, and what we said was like sulfuric or whatever it called. Okay, there we go. Shuvu Asher Hamiku Sarah Ben Israel, return Ben Israel to the one who you tried to keep away. Come back to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Kiva Yomu Yimasan Isha Lile Kaspa. On that day, every man will loathe his own gods, his silver gods, Alila Zavo, and his gold gods, Ashwasu Lechem Yedechem Chait, which your hands had made for sin. You're going to see that they're all useless. So Nafal Ashur Bacharev, Ashur is going to fall by the sword. Lo Ish Mecharev, Lo Adam Tochlenu. It is not a man of his sword, right? Nor will a man consume them. And Nafal Ashur Bacharev, they're going to run away from the sword of Achur of Lamasiyeh, and all the young soldiers will be, and I guess, fought against. The Salami Magor Yavor, strength will vanish from their terror. Bachanu, Bechatu Mineis Sarav, Nehuma Shemesher, Ur Lo Betzio Metanu Lo Mishlayim. This is the word of God who has a fire in Zion and a furnace in Yerushalayim. He's going to make sure that Sennacherib is afraid, that everybody is going to have full fear, and that's that. And there we go. And what happens after Sennacherib is destroyed? Then a king is going to come up. Hein Letzedek Yimlach Melech. Indeed, a true king reigns for righteousness. Ulasarin Lamishpat Yashoru. True officers, they judge things correctly. That's what they're there for. They rule in that way. Vayeish Kemachave Ruach V'Seser Zorim. The man will be like shelter from all the winds, and it'll protect you from the storms. Kitalge Mayim B'Tzayon, like streams of water in the desert. Kitzel Selakabade, like the shade of a big boulder of Eretz Yefa in a parched land. That's the way a king should be. That's where your officers should be. The leaders should be people who are going to protect you wherever you go. Velotish Ena Ene Roen, the eyes of those who see will no longer be covered up. The Ozne Shomim Tikshavna, and the ears of those who want to listen will now be able to listen. The hearts of the fools will be able to understand, Ladat, to know, and the tongue of the stammerers, right, they are going to be able to speak very clearly what they need to say. Everything is going to be different. Everything now will be, now we see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. No longer will we call over the miser, a charitable person. And to the person who doesn't give away his money, we will no longer call him a philanthropist. There will be no fakers. No fakers will be left. Ki novel nevalu yedaber, because the miser, he speaks out his stupid stuff. But his heart thinks of doing evil. Lasos konet, he tries to, what's the word, to flatter others. Uledaber l'Hashem toa, and to speak bad words about Hashem. L'harik nefesh ra'ev, to empty out the hungry souls. Mashket sameyach fear, and to withhold drinks from people that are thirsty. That's what his real stuff is. His claims are, see, I'm trying to help people. But really, on the inside, all he's trying to think of is how he can keep people away from his money. The Chelai, Caleb Rotimbu. So to a Chelai, a real, they call him over here a niggard. Okay? That's not a bad word. N-I-G-G-A-R-D. That's not a bad word. Okay? We're not saying it a bad way. Okay? No, no, no. No. It's not a bad word. A person who is lazy, who doesn't want to give away to other people. That's what it refers to. Okay? That's what the word actually means. I know it's a bad word, right? A big E, it's a bad word. This is an okay word, okay? But you probably won't see it on Wheel of Fortune or anything like that. This is not a word that you're going to put up there. Nonetheless, that is the proper word to use for it over here. What he tries to do is defective. Zimos Yot, he has plans, L'chabel Aniyim, to knock down the poor people, Ben Meshach, with all of his words of lies, of Adabar Evyom Mishpat, and by speaking justly about the needy. He's lying completely through his teeth. The Nadiv Nedivos, the charitable people plan charity, Yahats, that's what he's trying to do, but on the Nedivos Yakum, he stands behind the charity that he has. Nashim Shananus Komna, Oi, complacent woman, the women that are there. Komna, get up, Shmanakoli, listen to my voice, Banos, Botkos, Hazeni, Rasi, all confident. confident daughters, listen to my words. Yom Yimal Shana Tergazna. For a year and days, the confident ones are going to tremble. Both coasts keep Kila Batsir, Osa Bliavo. Through all, when all the Batsir, all the harvesting is over, right, there's not going to be much back afterward. In other words, saying to the woman, listen, guys, or woman, right, you should know, this is not going to last very long. After a while, you know what's going to happen? After a while, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come along and he's going to destroy. Be terrorized, O complacent ones. Rugs up, Botkos, all those who are assured. Tremble. You are taken off. You are stripped of your clothing. You will be naked, right, with just a loincloth along your waist as you go to bubble in your gullus. Al Shadaim Sokim, they're going to beat on their chest. I'll stay Chemed, I'll get Papuria, for their old fields, for their grapevines that are gone. Al Admasami, Kot Shamir, on the ground of my nation, which is filled with all these thorns and thistles and whatever it is, Talet, that's what's going to come up. Kial Kobatu Masos Kiryal Liza, in all the joyous cities, there's going to be nothing left. All the good cities that were filled with joy and whatever it is, at the times of Nebuchadnezzar, nobody's going to be living in anywhere. Ki Amun Nutash, Hamun Iruzov, the palace is abandoned, the city's multitudes are all gone. Ofo Babachan Haya Ba'ad Maros, all the fortresses and all the citadels that they had, they're going to be like caves. Ad Olam, forever. Misos Kraim Mira Adarin, it's going to be a place where people will pasture their donkeys and take their flocks. Ad Ye'er Alein Ruach Merom, until we get a spirit from up high. Vayam Midbar Ve'Hakarmel Le'Yar Yechashev, until everything that is in deserts and all those areas become like a forest, it'll be filled again until Hashem wants to refill them. Neshachem Be'Midbar Mishmar Utsdaka Be'Kamel Te'Shev, then justice will dwell in that desert, righteousness will be in those farmlands, and people will resettle, good people will come back. Vayimaisa Tzidaka Shalom, then there will be Tzidaka together with peace. Ve'avodah Tzidaka Hashkif Ha'Vetach Ha'Olam, and the avodah of the Tzidaka will cause tranquility and quiet forever and ever. That's when you're going to be blessed with peace. My people will be in a spirit or an abode of peace. And in areas where they'll be secure. And in tranquil places, quiet places. Barad, right? The redes hayar, the hail when it comes down into the forest. The city will then spread down to the valley. At that point, you'll be able to live in valleys. You won't have to live in these fortified cities anymore. From now on, they'll be able to be tranquil without having to worry about anything whatsoever. They'll no longer fear anybody coming into the city. Ashreichem, praiseworthy are you, happy are you. Zori al komayin, those who plant at any water. Meshalkei regel ashor v'achamor, who send out the legs of the shore v'achamor and allow them to walk wherever they have to go without having to worry about anything. What do we learn from this pasuk over here? Meshalkei regel shor v'achamor.
Sounds very familiar.
Meshilach zuaregel. Meshilach zuaregel. We learned that sending out an animal is regel of the animal. That's when the animal tramples on things and damages it. Here he's saying you can send out your animals and they won't trample on anything, they won't cause any damage. But normally, they will cause damage. That's that. We're up to. Mom and Gil. Stop with that.